Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello and welcome to yet another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio here from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio in Gwinnett County, Georgia. I'm Mike Salmon alongside Stephen Julian.
Mike,
you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. You know, you've got something right next to you. I don't know if the people...
That's our guest, Tiffany.
Yes, but you are holding something.
Oh, I'm not holding Tiffany.
No.
Okay.
It's not that kind of show, and we want to keep doing shows, so you are holding a real award.
We actually really are an award-winning program. This is from the Chairman's Club of the Gwinnett County Chamber. The Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce. We are the business of the month. I'm so excited, you know.
October 2016,
Business of the Month, Business Radio
X. Oh,
yay! Okay, we got to hold it up. Thank you, Tiffany. She's done this before.
Well done.
I didn't see our stage director over there saying, hold it up for the cameras.
So that actual real award for Business of the Month from the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce Chairman's Club.
Spit it out, Steven.
Will be put up on the wall here inside the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios.
I'm going to keep this with me 24/7.
And do you know why we got the award? Because we do such seamless transitions for our sponsors. That's why I'm going to remind you, Mike, that you love that award, but you also love your Subaru. And love
I
is
got
what
a new
makes,
Subaru, yes.
Love is what makes a Subaru. You can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience. Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. Visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join the family today. Come in and see the difference. Maybe you're like Mike. Maybe you're already a Subaruist. Then you can follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers news and community events.
All right, Stephen, we have a very special guest for the show today. Joining us, she's local. She's from the area. Tiffany Krumans. She was the first winner ever on Shark Tank. Tiffany, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you came and you have a product called Ava the Elephant, and you went on Shark Tank and you won. Is that an? Do you say you won?
You got an offer.
You got an offer.
Yeah, I received an investment. Yeah. So
okay.
I won.
Well, take us back. Tell us what the product is. Tell us about your experience on Shark Tank.
Okay. Well, it all started. I was actually living in Alpharetta, Georgia, not far from here, and I was working as a caregiver for a little boy named Gibby who has Down syndrome. I had a really difficult time giving him medications when he needed them, and so I kind of had this light bulb moment and said, you know, I think I know a way to fix this. I need to hide the dropper and I need to hide it in a friendly little animal. So I went home and I made, this is the original actually, which
nice.
You can see in the studio, and it's pretty rough. I mean, it's taped up and sewn up, but it worked. I took it in the next day and I introduced it to him and I said, this is who's going to give you your medication. And it was as if he was never fearful of medication.
So he doesn't see a dropper or anything like that? Or could it be a syringe or a needle if they're diabetic or something?
Uh-huh. Well, there's actually another product, Buzzy the Bee, that is for needles. Yeah.
Buzzy the Bee,
pediatrician. Also Atlanta-based company.
But something so less threatening,
mm-hmm.
and it worked. And so you had the aha moment. You made Ava the Elephant.
Yes.
Where'd you come up with the name, by the way, Ava?
Oh, everybody thinks that that's going to have some real heart behind it, but it never does. It all came down to trademarking. And so when I first went on the Shark Tank show, I sat in a room of about 45 lawyers, and they all said, oh, nope, can't use that name, can't use that name, can't use that, and ran down the list. And so I ended up with Ava the Elephant. I liked it because it was short and sweet and kids could say it.
Now, take us back also, when exactly was this? What time period was this that you were actually getting ready to appear on the
this
show?
This was about 7 years ago. Okay. It was for the pilot episode of Shark Tank, and I found it of all places. I found it on Craigslist. It said, do you have the next $1 million idea, but you don't have the funding to make it happen? And I thought, I think I might, because I had been sitting on this for about three or four months. And I'd done some patent searches and different things to kind of go down that road because I saw the effect that it had. And so I applied for the show, and next thing I knew, I was in California filming the pilot episode.
And you're
I had no idea.
So you start in a room, you said 40 or 40 lawyers, or how many people were trying to get on the show? How many actually appeared on that first
show? I don't
know
how many auditioned for submitted for the first episode. I know it was a lot, not as many as it is now because the show's so huge, but it was a big group. I think they picked, there may have been 15 to 20 of us there that filmed on the pilot episode, and maybe 6 or 7 aired.
Nice.
And I was just completely clueless. I had no idea that I was going to film a show that was going to become this phenomenon that everybody loves now.
And we talked about this off the air, but you, because this was the pilot and because you responded on Craigslist, which I love, you don't know any of these people. They're not famous yet.
No.
They're just business people.
Right. Well, they told me they were very successful investors. There were 5 very successful investors, and they gave me a sheet of paper on each one with their picture, their name, and kind of what they had done. And I had that probably 20 minutes before I went on. And so I just read down through to try to see kind of what their things were, what they liked, what they were passionate about. Not that it changed my pitch, but I just looked it over. And
this all and the arrival, you know, the going through the process, getting on the stage, filming it, all this happened in one day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And mine happened, I look horrible in my pitch because I got ready at about 5:30 that morning, and then I sat in what I call a hangar, because this was a pilot episode. Whenever you have a pilot episode of a show, it's not really funded yet. I mean, it's kind of just like they throw it at the wall and see if it sticks, you know? So we're all kind of just sitting in these chairs waiting to go on, and it's not fancy. You know, they don't fly you there like they do now. I mean, everybody's spoiled now. So I sat there for probably 10 hours. I mean, I got it ready at 5:30, and I didn't go until nighttime was my pitch. And I was one of the last pitches to go on, even though I aired, you know, in the show at a different time, but I was one of the last pitches that day to go on. And it's shocking that I actually got a deal, because they were probably really tired of hearing people by then, you know?
So you go and make your, and we're talking with Tiffany Krumman. She's the first winner on the first ever Shark Tank show, which of course is hugely popular now. So you make your pitch. Who ended up, getting to work with you? Were there multiple offers?
Barbara Corcoran is the one that invested in me. The only female on the stage. And that was because the guys didn't really, I mean, they were actually very kind to me compared to what they do now and what they say now, but they just didn't invest because I don't think they got it. They're not at home with their children. They're not trying to give them medication. So it didn't really resonate with them.
And you didn't really have sales or other than your prototype, you really had nothing at
nothing.
That point.
And I think that's what gave me peace and allowed me to do so well at my pitch, because I saw the effect it had on Gibby. I knew what it could do for these children, and that's what I had. So I kind of went in and said, this is what I know. This is what I have to offer, you know, take it or leave it type feeling. And a lot of people go in now with their homes are mortgaged and, you know, just all kinds of debt. So it's a little more pressure for them.
And you end up, from what I read, Tiffany, Barbara actually ended up getting a majority of the company.
Yes, she did.
And I saw something where you said, and I agree the same. I've always said this, you know, I'd rather have something something big than a big part of nothing.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously she can grow it to something huge, and you just get a piece of that. That's pretty good.
Well, and now that I know what I know, having been through the process, if anything, she probably should have got more. There is a lot of money invested into launching a product. People don't understand, especially when it's a injection molded plastics product. There's just tons of money that goes into it in order to get this simple little product. So I get it now why she needed the majority ownership.
Well, let's fast forward 7 years. Ava the Elephant is sitting here before us.
Yes.
And she has changed drastically from where you started.
She's had a little makeover.
I see on the package here, it says, try me, I talk. Mm-hmm. And so... what are your sales? How many versions of Ava have there been? Talk us through the last 7 years of history.
Well, it went from this to 5 clay elephants that I pitched with. So when I went on the show, I actually didn't know a prototyping company at the time, didn't invest in a prototype. So I made 5 little clay versions with the syringe kind of stuck in it. and that's what I took on the show. And then now it's been sold all over our country, but it's also been sold all over the world. So much so that we've had multiple versions of it in different languages. So we've had to kind of translate the 1, 2, 3 open wide, you know, good job in other languages, which sounds hilarious when you hear it in some of them. But we kind of went through that and a lot of sales and a lot of success because of Shark Tank. And then we kind of came to a stopping point where, are we going to make this into a full brand and launch, you know, multiple products, or are we going to license it off? And so that's kind of where I'm at now, is I'm speaking to multiple companies about licensing the product.
So what kind of revenue is the company making these days?
Right now, not a lot because I'm in that licensing phase, but it did really well, you know, throughout all of our Shark Tank years. I try not to drop numbers anymore because I did so much on Shark Tank and I feel like it hurt me. You know, when you project stuff and then sometimes it falls away behind the scenes, yeah. or say you lose money in other areas, you know, most businesses don't come in and talk about their money. You know, they don't share that with the world. And so that's the only downfall of Shark Tank is we're sharing stuff that most people don't share. And then people kind of hold you to that.
So if you're going through the licensing phase, is this currently kind of off the market? Is there still...
It's still out there, you know, okay. through the vendors we've sold to. But yeah, it'll probably transition into that company owning it. And then we'll be back on the market very soon.
Well, and let me mm-hmm. ask this too. So I had three boys. Mm-hmm. I don't use droppers anymore.
Had three boys.
I still do.
Okay,
I had
sure.
three young boys. Okay, Mike, I'm sorry. I'm corrected. I have three boys. When they were younger, we used an eyedropper. What's the price difference for something like this?
Compared to a dropper?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can get a dropper even, you know, I think for free at a CVS or something. Right. But the difference for me was changing this from the beginning for the child. So don't let them have that fear of it. If you do have to give medication, go ahead and start with it so they always know it to be an easy process. Because I think what they're usually scared of is the parent going, it's time to take medicine, and they're white knuckle in their seat and they feed off of you. You know what I mean? That was my thing with children. I knew what they needed.
And also, I'm bringing something to your mm-hmm. mouth that you've never seen before,
yeah.
or you know, anytime I see this, it's a bad experience. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's part of it.
Well, and Ava talks to him. That was something that I've always been really firm about. You know, a lot of people wanted to water it down and we could do a dollar store version or we could do, but I wanted it to talk because it needed to be something that they trusted and knew. And a lot of them like to play with it even when they're not, you know, they take out the syringe and they end up walking around with it, pressing it and chewing on it.
What does Ava say?
I'll press her free.
Wait a minute.
Good job. Nice.
It's a little muffled because it's in the package. But.
1, 2, 3, open wide.
That was Elmo. That was Elmo.
That was actually me.
Is so that your voice?
That's really you?
Barbara, one of the things people don't understand about her, they probably think she just throws money at everything. But she's very frugal and very smart with her money. And when we first went to do the product and we were trying to manufacture it, we had to get the sound. And I said, well, you know, what do we do? Do we find a voiceover person? You know, and she's like, are you kidding me? You're the one that recorded it for Shark Tank and you sold me. You're going in there to record it. So I went to a friend's radio studio here in Atlanta. He's on the radio and I went in and he let me sit down in one of the booths and record it. And I had to plug my nose and did it. And that's the one we've been using for 6 years. So.
What's your relationship like with Barbara now?
Good, good. She kind of saw me through, you know, the building of the business, obviously, but she also saw me through cancer. So she and I developed a really strong bond, you know, over those years. Now she's more in a silent role of, you know, letting me kind of take the business and license it and move forward. So she kind of took me through every stage of launching the business to hopefully the big success at the end.
And you've mentioned this because the show became such a hit and it's such a different experience where people are in their business when they go on to Shark Tank. So also to speak about having a good relationship with Barbara, I'm sure there are other examples, but literally she kind of took you from almost square one. You had the idea, mm-hmm. you'd done some work, you'd done a little bit of research, but she's really...
Yeah.
been your partner in so many ways. And then to hear a little bit of a personal story there mm-hmm. too. So she's fully invested, not only in your company, but in you.
And she's just like any other investor. She's an investor. So she's not like she's there for the day-to-day of running the business.
Right.
That's everything I had to do. But I think she and I had a little bit different of a relationship because I was on that first episode. So I was one of the very first product-based companies that she invested in. She had done real estate, obviously, for many years. But so we had to learn it together and kind of dive in. And then once she started getting more entrepreneurs, obviously, she had to set that up differently and not be so connected to them because she's got, you know,
how many
30,
business
40,
has
50,
she invested
yeah,
in
now? That she had to work with. So that they go more through her team. And I even do that now because she's got a lot going on, obviously, with the show.
And the way the show's developed over the years, I would think today for someone to come in with a prototype, mm-hmm. no sales, no background in this, you probably wouldn't even get a chance to make the pitch these days.
And it's sad because, and that's what people ask for all the time with the show. They say, let us see more inventions, like actual, you know, beginning products. Because you see a lot of variations on products, like a different barbecue sauce or a different whatever, but you don't see an actual, you know, brand new invention. And that's because they need to be able to show the progress. This was not easy. The only reason that we got to where we were by the time the show aired, because of the time involved in launching a product like this, is because we had about a 9-month window between the pilot filming and it actually airing. Now they don't. Now they film in the summer and it airs that fall. So you would have to be able to take a product from that to completion and have it ready to sell when the show airs.
And I would think one of the things the creators of the show or the people behind the show or even Barbara potentially, I don't want to speak for them, but with the growth of the show, what you experienced is now going on in off air. You hear of, hey, we're doing a, you know, the North Fulton Business Chamber did the, they had a Shark Tank, you know, a new technology company comes and doesn't expect. So there are smaller, not on TV settings of investors doing that off the air. So in a way they've brought that to the forefront and made it cool and made it more out in the open for people to get, you know, to
before
get from,
that it didn't exist before Shark Tank. It really, nobody talked about being an entrepreneur, that word.
And it certainly wasn't entertaining or on the air, but.
My dad's been an entrepreneur for 30 years, owned his own business and run it, but there was no, like you said, no excitement around it. Or now they're really encouraging it, which is kind of cool.
Because of the popularity of the show now, you get on the show, you become kind of an instant celebrity, but not so much 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you get any recognition, you know, when people see you at all? They do.
Yeah. Well, and that's because I filmed on that first pilot episode, but I also filmed updates all the
seasons
following.
So you've been going back every year.
So there were so many episodes that I filmed just, you know, of new products or whatever we were doing. And then they re-air constantly. So they're re-airing on ABC or then they go on CNBC or all over the world. Like I just got the other night, I was in bed and I get all these emails down my phone. And I'm like, what in the world? And they're all from India. So it has just aired. Obviously, one of my, I think my second episode had just aired in India. And all of a sudden, I'm getting all these requests from there. So it's just it's the gift that keeps on giving.
That's got to be
in
crazy.
In a good way, yeah.
Tiffany Krumans is our guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio. She's the first ever winner on the first ever Shark Tank, the most popular, very popular TV show. Of course, Ava the Elephant was the product. And you mentioned the cancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, while this is all going on, you find out that you're now battling cancer. Yep. That's part of your story.
Yes.
So share that with us.
It was about 3 months into my, I'd filmed the show. I had a 3 or 4 month old at home, and I was about 3 months into building this business, which I knew nothing about. So, I mean, it was just complete chaos at my house, you know, trying to figure out manufacturing and liability insurance and all these things. I didn't go to business school, so I didn't know what I was doing. So I was in the middle of doing all that, and I was diagnosed with cancer. And so I kind of had to make the decision at that point, am I going to keep going with this business that's about to kill me already? Because it was pretty terrifying. Or am I going to stop and just work on fighting cancer?
And how old were you at the time?
27.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, but my motivation was these children, you know, knowing Gibby and the effect it had on him. It really, not only did I work with Gibby, children with special needs, I worked with kids with cancer before I had cancer. So I went and volunteered up at Children's Healthcare in Atlanta.
And not to put words in your mouth, too, but it almost gave you a reason to really fight the cancer.
Well, and I knew now what they were feeling. And I also knew how many medications these children had to take. So some of these children have to take, you know, maybe 40 medications a day in the hospital. And if I could give them some sort of little tool that would just take the edge off of that, it was worth it for me. So I stuck with it. And I'm cancer free now. It was a good 2 or 3 year struggle there of, you know, fighting it, surgery, treatments, and then finally getting that, you know, you're cancer free. So, yeah.
Apart from Barbara, who else, either we know or we don't know, on the show or off the show, in family, out of family, that has kind of been real important on this journey? And also, I'll keep it as broad as possible, both with the business and then also in dealing with the cancer.
Well, my husband obviously has been great. He's gotten me through a lot of the cancer side and the business just by supporting me, you know, financially and allowing me to go through all this. So my family, my parents, I think on a business side.
Do you have some good strategy sessions with your dad since he was an entrepreneur for 30 years?
He is he's the dreamer of my two parents. My mom is the book smarts and she's got multiple degrees that I never received.
My parents were the same way.
Yeah. And my dad's like go for it. You know, you got this. And so that's what he's there for. And he's always kind of kept me going because he sees that. But my parents are amazing. But there's a lady, Tamara Monasoff. She wrote a book called Mom Inventor Handbook. And so she did kind of the same thing I did before Shark Tank was around. She had this little idea to stop kids from wasting the toilet paper when the little boys go in and they pull the toilet paper out. She had She had a TP saver and you just click it over to save the toilet paper. And she wrote a book on that, and I used that even after Shark Tank for some of the stuff with, you know, trademarks and things. And I connected with her directly, and she's been wonderful. a lot of other people. Bill Gafford, a man here in Georgia that does funding. He's an amazing man that has just really kind of mentored me.
Now, you mentioned going back on the show and doing updates. Have you also been able to help other sharks, or not sharks, help other fish in the tank?
You know, when it first started out, we obviously get a lot of emails and phone calls because we're in the public eye now and we have websites where they can just, you know, directly connect with you. And for a long time there, I tried to work with everybody and I realized I can't do this. I cannot, you know, do my company and family and cancer at the time and help them. So I kind of backed off from that for a while. But now that I'm at this licensing phase, it kind of opened up a little bit more time for me. And I have been connecting with some small businesses and either consulting with the owner and helping them, you know, launch their product, or teaming up with them to kind of open doors, because you can say Shark Tank and it just boom, you know, they answer your phone call or your email. So it's been very beneficial for that. One of the companies is called Seatsational. It's a marketing company where you market in the back of a stadium seat. So, you know, the stadium seats all sit there empty. These are little wraps that go on them and brand them. So you can have your logo going across for 40 seats or whatever. They used to do it with T-shirts. And you take the T-shirt, but it obviously doesn't look as good. So that's a company I teamed up with.
I like it.
So what's next for you now? I mean, you got all the licensing. Mm-hmm. You got that. Mm-hmm.
Let her take a breath. Good heavens, right. Mike.
Okay. I want to.
Now what's next for you?
I want to license Ava, and then I want to continue to design products for the company I license Ava to. So other children's products, which I've already come up with. I want to license them under that brand. But I also want to do things I'm passionate about. One of the things that I just secured was a contributor position with Bob Gear, which is a really fancy running stroller company now, because I do a lot of active stuff. So I'm going to be doing a fitness blog for them. I just got confirmed yesterday for the Beaches Mom on the Sand event, which is a resort, you know, Beaches Resort. Everybody knows that. I'm going to go and speak at that and talk to them about launching products from their blog. So yeah, I'm just kind of trying to branch out and do the things I love.
So you're not really doing much of anything, are you? Holy cow.
You and Mike, we can talk off air. Mike will give you some ideas of things to do with your time.
Yeah, so. Do you have one of these awards from the Gwinnett Chamber, though? You don't have one of these, do you? Yeah.
We and maybe have one a show right with you guys. That'd be there cool.
You,
go.
You know what? We're going to talk to Tiffany about maybe, you know, I mean, can you imagine her as a host of a show?
I can.
Introducing you to entrepreneurs? Mm-hmm.
Yet another person, wonderful person that comes to the studio that's going to cause me to get fired. I'm just very excited. No, I'm just kidding. You definitely would. It'd be a.
You've lasted 3 years.
Well, so.
You're not going anywhere.
You know, I think just the opportunity to continue to multiply what started on Shark Tank is just, I mean, there's capitalism is a wonderful thing when done right.
Well, and I think a year ago, I've kind of just now come into that knowledge that I have all this knowledge that I've learned. Before, I was kind of like, oh, I can't help people. And then I realized, gosh, I do know everything there is to know about launching a product because I've done it. And I've made a lot of the mistakes that I don't want them to make. And the money that people put into different stuff that you want to tell them, no, stop. Do these three things only, and then, you know,
do
wait
a few things
step.
And do them well, and then you get to do more things.
Everybody wants to go get an office space and a new Apple computer and all that. You know, they want to look like a business before they actually build the business behind the scenes. So.
Yeah, we could do a whole show on that. And one of the questions I was going to ask you, but I'm not going to because it could take a whole show, is, you know, talk about the mistakes you've made over the years. And we'll save that for maybe some other time. But for those that would like to find out more about Ava the Elephant, or reach out to you for whatever reason, do you want to share a website, contact information?
Ava's website is avatheelephant.com. That's just all her stuff, A-V-A, the Elephant. And then I have my personal website, which is tiffanycrumins.com.
Okay, and Krumins is K-R-U-M-I-N-S.
Yes.
Great.
If you Google it, it'll lead you to it. So
you can YouTube it. You can Google it. You can pretty much look anywhere or watch the replay of the pilot episode.
The original pitch.
Which I'm going to go do.
Tiffany Krumins, first ever winner on the first ever Shark Tank. How cool is that? It's our honor to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
I'm so glad the schedule worked out for her to be on the show where you got your award.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I know.
Well done.
What a good day we're having.
Well done. And I'm going to continue that good day by reminding everybody about the wonderful sponsor of this show, Gwinnett Business Radio, is Ferratech. Ferratech is your one source for all toner supplies, printers, copiers, and computers. Whether you need service or repair on your hardware, or you're looking to find the best price and quality on toner supplies, Ferratech has a skilled and knowledgeable team to help you and your company. You can contact them today to see how they can help you. They're waiting for your call at 770-582-1188 or go to ferratech.com.
Say, I can't fire you. You do such a good job with that.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
All right. I want to thank Tiffany for joining us on the show, and Trey and Z and Emmett and everybody behind the scenes here at Business Radio X as well. Keep in mind that you can listen to the show anytime 24/7 at businessradiox.com or GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. Follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, or vice versa. I don't know which one you like, one you follow. I get it all confused, but we're there as well. And until next time, Stephen.
Mike, I'm so glad to know that next time that you get a headache from doing the show with me, that Ava the elephant is there for you.
You're coming at me with an elephant. Yes. For some reason, that doesn't make me feel any better.
But it's supposed to. 1, 2, 3, open wide. Good job.
How do you stop
and
that?
And no enema jokes. Kevin O'Leary already did that.
Ah.
And I thanked him on Twitter. So thanks for the exposure.
I'll give you a kid's joke for your children. How do you keep an elephant from charging?
How?
You take away its credit card.
Oh, no.
You've never heard that one before? Oh, my goodness. Until next time, Mike Salmon for Stephen, Jillian, and everybody else. We'll see you right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.